Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 235. It's the week of Christmas 2016. I'd like to thank you for coming along, and again, thank you for coming back if you're a returning listener. And of course, I always like to thank the loyal listeners who are back week after week, show after show for many years going back, and certainly do appreciate that. Some of that's reflective in the mailbag section of the show for this episode, which is pretty good. It's got a good stack of emails for this show. Also got a special giveaway, a free entry to a Spartan race, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Kind of a mixed bag of stuff for this show. I've didn't get one out earlier in the month like as I had hoped, and so here we are, and I've started my training for my spring ultras. It looks like I've already registered for one. That's going to be the Trail Marathon 50K up in Pinckney Recreational Area, which is in Michigan. I've got my flights. I've got registered for the race, and I'll be visiting with two families while I'm up there, and that'd be real nice. And certainly thank you to the hospitality of the folks that are going to host me. I'm really looking forward to that trip. I've never been to Michigan, so I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm not one that collects states for my marathons, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and add, I think my eighth state will be Michigan if I'm able to finish that race. It's a 50K, but it's called Trail Marathon. It looks like a pretty decent race. Not too far from the Ann Arbor area, which is where the University of Michigan is. And so I'm just pretty excited to just go see that whole area. It's going to be late April. I think it's April 30th. I really should check on that. I know I'm leaving a few days, I think a day or two before the race, and then I think staying a full day after and then leaving the following morning after that, after a little bit of recovery. So that's kind of the big news. So my training for that is what I've been doing lately, kind of base building, if you will, kind of doing between 20 to 25 miles a week for the month of December. And then in January, I'll probably start adding that long run on the weekend a little longer, and then dropping in probably that Sunday run coupled with sandwiched by the rest days on Friday and Monday. So I'm pretty excited about all that. And I'm excited to be able to get out there and run without sweating so much where I feel like I'm just going to pass out. The weather's been pretty moderate. We had some 20s last weekend. For the most part, when I get out there running in the afternoons, it's in the 30s, and that's pretty good for me. I can usually wear shorts. I guess when it gets down to the low 20s, I will wear some long pants, but I prefer to run in shorts. And I've had some success with getting out there and getting the mileage in, and so I'm very encouraged that I think I'm going to have a good spring. The other ultra that I'm going to sign up for, most likely, I got to discuss it more with my good friend Lummox up in the Annapolis area, is called the HAT 50K. It's H-A-T. It's an acronym. Dr. Smitty, who's a regular character on the show, he has run that, I think, more at least once. And Lummox has run it. I think he's done it twice, or maybe he was a DNF the first time and then came back a second time and finished it. A little bit more of a technical type of race, and that would be something more than likely he and I would do together just to finish. So that would be in the month of March. So there's a likelihood that I'll be doing back-to-back ultras in back-to-back months, March and April, and that would pretty much do it for the spring. So pretty excited about that, and I like training through the winter, and you know, I would love to replicate what I did this year, because if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll recall that I did the Mississippi Trail 50 back in March of this year and ran my fastest 50 miles ever. Actually, it was a little bit longer than 50 miles. But anyway, it's a 50-mile race. Not to mention it was through multiple stream crossings, some that were pretty deep. One time it was all the way past my knees. And I have very soft feet. They're kind of, the skin is not real strong or calloused. So I have to really take care of that. So I had lots of stops in that race, and I still managed to clear, I think it was 10 hours, 46 minutes and some change. So if I can replicate everything I did ramping up to that 50 miler, I'll have a very successful spring season, that's for sure. So like I said earlier in this episode of the podcast, the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, I'd like to, first of all, I want to welcome my friend Keith to the show. Keith is a local friend of mine who I've kind of always known who he is, but we kind of just got acquainted about 2 months ago. But I've always kind of I've known who he is. He's a runner, but our paths just never really crossed, even though we both live in the town of Ashland. But I kind of knew who he was, but he found the podcast and he didn't realize it was me. So that's kind of a neat thing. So Keith, welcome aboard. Keith is part of a men's group that I'm a part of, kind of a group of religious men that meet every other week. We have breakfast together and just kind of enjoy each other's company and talk about family and stuff. And it's a very positive group. And over the last, I guess I've been meeting with them for the last couple months, and it's every other Wednesday. And it's been a lot of fun meeting up with these guys that are real committed, fathers and committed husbands. It makes me realize that some of the struggles that I have are really not any different than anybody else's, so we can kind of commiserate and help each other out. So that's kind of a neat thing. It's got a little bit off the subject of running. But Keith finished his first marathon this past November 14th, which was the Richmond Marathon. It was a huge celebration for him, I couldn't be happier for you, Keith, and it's nice to get to see you every other week there. And hopefully you'll be a regular listener to the show, so feel free to come on back. A couple weird things have happened that I just got to mention that kind of get on me. If you're a regular listener, you know that I have these little quirky things that bother me. And so I'm going to mention a few things that kind of went on. It's nothing major, and I might go on a little tangent on some of these things. I'm not really sure. But the first thing is that, and I can't remember if I mentioned this in the last podcast or not, I think I might have, is that I wrote a letter to a shoe company because I was dissatisfied with the product, and that was the Ultra shoe company. This is the shoes that I've been wearing for a couple of years. I wear a size 12, and I've been buying the same size for several years. I think I'm probably on my maybe seventh or eighth pair. I usually buy two pairs at a time, so I guess that would be an even number except for the first time I bought them. And the reason I do that is because my feet perspire so much that I got to switch out shoes each time I run, just so the sheer odor of the shoes don't cause me to get rid of them quicker than they wear out, because I keep track of the mileage on this little app on my smartphone. Well, I've been buying size 12 ever since the beginning, and I really do like the shoe. It has a wide toe box. If you know anything about the shoe, they do look a little strange. They're wider in the toe, and that's perfect for me because my toes tend to really rub alongside of each other and blister each other out. And this toe box of the shoe allows the foot to spread out a little bit. And it's worked really well for me. And I think that's why I've had some success at some of these trail races where otherwise in the past I did not. And so I get the Ultra Olympus model. It's technically it's a trail shoe, but I've worn it on the road. These shoes are about $125 each pair. So they're not cheap. Not the most expensive out there, but pretty darn expensive for me. And so for me to pay that kind of money for a shoe, it's got to be a good shoe. So like I said, I've been getting size 12 for the last couple of years. It's worked out just fine. And I kind of thought to myself, you know what? I think this is my shoe now. This is going to be the one. I'll keep track of the mileage. I'll wear the shoes till they absolutely need to be retired. And then I'll go online and I'll find the cheapest place that's selling them. And I'll buy, get my two pairs. And sometimes I've actually, when I've ordered them, I found, because the place I'll order them from doesn't have two pairs in 12. So I'll get one pair from that site and I'll find another pair of 12s on another site. Sometimes it's cheaper. And I always thought that was kind of weird how that worked out. But I kind of stuck with the shoe. Well, this last go around, I ordered size 12 again. And I got them in the summer. And I know your feet expand in the summer, but keep in mind, I've been running through this last couple summers, several years, and I realized that your feet expands a little bit. But what was happening was that I noticed that when I got the shoes, my toe was actually touching the front of the shoe, and that's not a good thing. You don't want to have your toe touching the front of the shoe just when you're kind of standing still. You need some space there because your foot's gonna move around, and you'll end up with a black toe. In a hurry if you're constantly having the top of your toe or your toenail touching the shoe because the shoe's too short. And I thought it was really strange because I hadn't experienced that with any of the other shoes that I bought that were all size 12. And I always look at the tongue of the shoe to make sure that I have a size 12. And I looked at these, and they were. And I thought, well, and this is what I put on the first pair because I went running. And I thought to myself, well, maybe they just got it wrong with one pair. I mean, that's, I guess that's possible to do when you're manufacturing shoes with a machine. I don't know. That's just, you know, mistakes can be made. But the real problem was when I put on the other pair, which was a different color. So I didn't, because this particular ordering cycle, I got each pair from a different company. And would you believe that that 12 was too short? And I could just feel the difference. And to kind of give you an idea of what I had to do, I still ran in the shoes because, you know, I'd spent all this money and I'd already run in them and I didn't think I'd be able to return them. And it wasn't really that bad, meaning it wasn't where it was unbearable, you know, where I had to kind of curl my toe up so I wouldn't hit the edge of the shoe. It was bearable, but noticeable, and I would constantly have to, when I would run, strike my heel on the ground to bring the foot all the way to the back of the shoe to give my toe a little bit of relief. And I wasn't noticing any problems with my toes blistering or black toe or otherwise, but it was just something that I could constantly feel. And so I felt strong enough where I thought I should contact the company and see what they thought. And so what I did is I went online and looked up complaints about Ultra, and I saw that other people had trouble too. Other people had trouble with sizing. They couldn't find the right size. But I didn't read anything about there being any kind of defect in sending out the wrong size. You know, say 11 and a half to people that are, they labeled shoes that are 11 and a half, they labeled them 12s. I didn't see any online complaint forms about that. So what I decided to do was to write a real letter, not an email, not a text. I didn't even call the company. I sat down and typed out a letter on my computer and put it in a regular envelope and bought a stamp and mailed it that way, thinking I would get some kind of response. And it's been about, I guess, let's see, I put the last show out. Let's see, when did I put out the last show? And I think I might have mentioned it in that show. Let's see. Last show was put out November 23rd, right before Thanksgiving. So I wrote the letter, I think, a week or so before that. So it's been over a month. And I should have heard something by now if they gave a crap. And so, and I'm guessing they received the letter because I had my return address on it and I didn't hear back anything. And I told them in the letter that I have, I'm 47 years old. My foot's not growing anymore. It's not shrinking. It's not getting bigger. And the shoes just felt so noticeably different from previous exact same model, same brand, same model, that I just had to let them know that I wasn't satisfied with that. And I didn't expect anything for free. I just expected some kind of response because I put in the letter that with the cost of these shoes, I'm not so sure I want to invest that kind of money into a size 12 that's going to be sent to me and it's going to feel the same. And then here I am for another, 400 miles a piece or 350 miles a piece on these shoes. You know, I'm stuck with something that doesn't feel comfortable. So I'm not really sure what to do. I've only got about 100 miles on each pair, which means they're going to, they'll last me probably through the winter. And then I'll have to get new pairs probably, I'm guessing I'll probably get a new pair for the races in the spring, I would think. I don't know. I don't even know what I do, 100 miles a month. Maybe not quite that. Maybe about that. So yeah, I'll have to get new shoes by the spring for the race. And I actually ran in them when I did the Piedmont 8-hour. And again, it was noticed. It didn't cause any trauma to my toenails where, you know, they would get black and bruised and then fall off because they're all mangled anyway from just running all the time. But it was something that I kind of noticed in my head, and it was something I really didn't want to, you don't want to have to think about that. And, I've thought about, I've gone back to wearing one pair. I used to wear two pairs of socks because my feet sweat so much. I've gone back to the one pair just so I'm not feeling the edge of the shoe. And I'm actually trying, when I go running, I look in my drawer and I put on the thinnest socks that I have just so I'm not feeling that on the front of my toe. And so you might be listening thinking, well, you know, Dave, your shoes are too small. You need to get a bigger pair. Well, what I'm trying to say is that I've been buying the 12 for the last several years and it should be the same size. The shoe should not change. I don't want to get a 12 and a half and then have some, half inch of gap and have my foot moving all around in the shoe when I'm trying to run up and down hills and then blister in that way. So a response from Ultra might have been nice. Obviously, I haven't heard anything yet. At this point, I'm not expecting to hear anything. But I was just curious if anybody out there has ever had any problems with Ultras. You know, let me know. AshlandDave@gmail.com. All right, let's get into a couple of these other things. And, yeah, I just got these little quirky things I want to mention in the show. That, surfing the internet and shopping on Amazon. That is a real good way to ruin Christmas for someone that gets on the same computer after you. These sidebar ads, I guess we could go to, you know, we don't really hide our IP address when we browse. I know some people do that want to stay anonymous on the internet. And, you know, you get, say, for example, you go to Amazon and you search for, let's just say, like, luggage, okay? You know, they sell luggage. Well, and say you buy something or you don't buy something. Well, when you go to other websites that sell ad space on the sidebars of web pages, you start seeing the suitcases that these other companies are trying to market you. It happens instantly. And what happened for us was we bought something for Monica and I bought something for our daughter for Christmas. And sure enough, if it didn't show up in the sidebar, and it kind of spoiled the surprise, if you will. And I mean, there are ways to do that. You can go to, there is a website called DuckDuckGo, which does not track your IP address or doesn't keep track of your searches. In the kind of work I do professionally, I always thought that people that do that want to be anonymous on the internet, that's always kind of a little suspicious. Not all, but I did go to DuckDuckGo and try that, and it's an interesting site. It's not exactly the same as Google. It was pretty close. So yeah, that's something that we'll just keep in mind next time around we do our online Christmas shopping. And we have a relatively new TV, smart TV, and the only thing that makes it smart is that you can watch YouTube on it, Netflix, and so there's some Amazon thing that we have, and you can turn on the TV and go to the internet right through the TV. That's what makes it smart. But it was kind of dumb when recently the volume just quit working altogether and just literally stopped. You couldn't control the volume with either the actual TV remote or the Comcast remote that we have for the cable box. Neither one would work. You could change the channels, but you just couldn't change the volume. It wasn't working at all. You couldn't turn the volume up, and it really ticked us off because the TV is relatively new, and it's the bigger of the two TVs that we have. So obviously we wanted to keep that one working, and it was just kind of came on the cusp of some other things going wrong, and so my wife and I always laugh, like, you know, well, what else could go wrong? You know, then the car is $900 to get fixed, and then the fridge goes out at the same time. And right around that, your HVAC system has to be replaced. These things happen to us where we have these huge expenditures all at one time. And then you go a few months and nothing happens. And then, so I was thinking, gosh, we're going to have to buy a new TV. To get the volume fixed, it's probably cheaper to buy a new TV. Well, we figured out how to reset the whole TV. Because I figure if it's a computer, there's got to be a way to reset it. So I think it was one of these combinations of holding down certain buttons for certain periods of time, unplugging it, holding down buttons, putting your leg up in the air, putting on a aluminum foil hat, and then contorting yourself to a reset, and it worked. So the TV got reset. We never had any trouble ever since. But that's the smart TV for you. So I just wanted to bring that up. All right, I'm going to talk about Twitter for a few minutes. I like Twitter. I don't send out tweets, but I get a lot of news through Twitter. Twitter is a real good way to get links get sent to you, where you can then click on the link if you want to read any more about whatever the article is. And every time I'm watching the news, whether it's opinion show or an actual news show, which are kind of far and in between now, most of these shows are opinion shows. Constantly, almost every story has something to do with somebody sending out a tweet, apologizing for a tweet, a scandalous tweet, confusing tweet, tweets in the middle of the night. And so I'm getting to Trump. Okay, so Trump's going to be a new president. All I can say is watch out, that's for sure. I mean, he's going to be like no other, that's for sure, regardless of how you voted. he's not going to be like any other president I think that we've ever had in this country, at least that's been on TV or anything. I mean, you don't really know what the presidents were like before media, because when it was just print media, because you only saw what the TV showed them. Now, these, like with Twitter, this is what I'm getting at with Trump. He can reach directly to the people through Twitter. And I think that's what's going to make him successful. I personally don't think his marriage is going to last. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. She was saying he's probably going to put his foot in his mouth. I said, yeah, he's probably going to do that. And I think if anything doesn't make it, I would, maybe his marriage wouldn't work. I mean, he's been married several times before. But that's just a low-level prediction. What do I know? But it's become a legitimate source of information, Twitter has. And it's a really interesting way to get stuff really fast. If you follow different – I follow different opinion writers and sports, especially the English Premier League, the Buffalo Bills. That's my football team that I support. And you get stuff very quickly, and you can obviously get real behind if you were to, I check it like in the evening, and I'll say, okay, what's the news that I want to look at? But the reason I'm saying it's a real legitimate source of information now is because this is how the president of our country is going to communicate with us directly. He's going to bypass the what they call the mainstream media, and he's going to go directly to the people with his Twitter. And like I said a few minutes ago, that's actually going to help him succeed. If he's going to, it's going to be because of the way he communicates with the people. And I don't understand. He's really taking advantage of that, and I think it's going to be interesting. And, yeah, he's going to have some dumbass tweets because, he's kind of a buffoon. But here he is. He's going to be the president. All right, so I want to talk about this other article I saw. This is from – has nothing to do with politics. This just shows you how weak our kids are. How they've been sissified. This is from December 9th, Richmond Times-Dispatch, but it's from by the Washington Post. And the headline is, Child Crushed After Santa Tells Him to Lay Off Burgers and Fries. And I'm going to read part of this article. I might skip over some of it. But I want you, the kid is 9 years old, and I want you, when I read the quotes, he focuses on the word disrespected. And the problem I have with this little boy is that a nine-year-old should not be complaining about being disrespected at all. He should just keep his mouth shut. But and that's just my opinion. But here's the article. Anthony Mays took a seat on Santa's lap, looked into his eyes, and told the elderly chimney hopper exactly what he wants for Christmas, an iPod Touch and a drone. But at the end of their friendly chat, the nine-year-old boy says that Santa decided to give the rosy-cheeked lad something else, an earful, Christmas-crushing body shame. Quote, when he got done, he said, lay off the hamburgers and french fries, Mays told ABC affiliate WLOS. And that really just disrespected me, and I felt awful. Mays said he felt so awful, in fact, that as soon as he got a few feet away from the bad Santa, he burst into tears. As the night wore on, the child told the station his world continued to unravel. Quote, it affected me so bad that I was crying until I went to bed that night, he added. And I want to say to him, you don't want to disrespect a nine-year-old. Even though what shape and size you are, it doesn't matter. Close, end quote. In a final fact of body-affirming defiance, he even tore up the photo he took with the Kris Kringle-turned Krampus. The exchange allegedly occurred Saturday at an annual holiday fair in Forest City, North Carolina, where a crowd of children had gathered around a miniature brick house to sit on Santa's lap to take pictures and make gift requests, WLOS reported. Blah, blah, blah. Ashley Mays, Anthony's mother, told the station that she took her son and his cousin out to have a festive time that included a carriage ride, ice skating, and a chance to sit on St. Nick's lap. She said she expected the man to spread holiday cheer, but instead he seemed as if he didn't want to be there to do the job. Very rude, she said. I've never seen anything like it. What set me off was when he started crying. All right, I'm going to talk about this for a little bit, and then I'm going to move on. All right, first of all, what's a nine-year-old doing sitting on Santa's? All right, first of all, my kid doesn't sit on Santa's lap because Santa's, people that dress up as Santa Claus and have kids come sit on their lap, to me, they're all perverts. Okay, that's how I look at it. My kid has not sat on Santa's lap except for maybe, well, we knew the guy because he went to our church, and this was when she was in kindergarten. And after that, I was even a little suspicious. But we never really got into that. I always thought that was weird. I really think it's weird to have a man sit there and act and be a fake person, of course. And I know the whole thing is, I'll tell a quick story here in a second about how my kid at age 5 figured out that Santa wasn't real. But they're perverts, okay? You just got to be real careful about that. And this guy here was probably the only one that wasn't, because he actually was honest with the kid. And what I don't understand is this boy is so sensitive that it's as the night wore on, the child told the station his world continued to unravel, all because the Santa told him to lay off some of the burgers and fries, which is probably good advice. That's what my health advisor told me. I had to get a health screening here recently for a discount on my health insurance. And I was told to lay off the fried food and limit my portions. I'm eating because I gained a little bit of weight and I'm trying to knock it off. You know, I know I'm older, but this kid's 9. But, you know, he must have been a fat kid for Santa to say that. And, you know, at some point in time, I'm just kind of glad that somebody said something to him, because obviously his parents not. And, you know, these kids are just too easily offended. But what really bothered me was how this kid said he was disrespected. And so that's his mom or his dad or somebody teaching him about that. And it's kind of like when my daughter the other day, this is what they teach them in the schools. She has some friends that are black, and I said, well, those are the black twins of that are your friends, referring to the set, because they're a set of twins and there's other twins. And she said, oh, well, that's racist. I said, how is that racist? I'm describing who they are, differentiating between them. I don't have anything, you know. These kids immediately think that because you use the terminology that you use, you're immediately trying to offend or be racist or be offensive. And it's just gotten crazy. And as we've heard before, and I'm going on my little political rant here, this society's gotten too politically correct. It's run amok, to use a cliche, and it's really gotten crazy. And I'm just glad that finally somebody took a sledgehammer to the bullshit. Okay. So that's, I really wanted to say that. So I finally said it. And, I'm going to leave that article alone. That poor kid really needs to, hopefully he has a good Christmas, you know, after Santa Claus hurt his feelings. And to tell the story about how my daughter figured out that wasn't a real Santa. Here in the little town that we live in, we have what they call the Santa runs. And what they do is the volunteer firefighters will run the trucks up and down the streets, running the sirens. And you come out to the street and they pull over and they give you your kids candy canes. And they have, you know, this guy dressed up as Santa. And it's all kind of cool and all that until my kid was in kindergarten, and she figured out that the guy that was stopping and gave candy wasn't Santa Claus, because it looked like a teenager wearing a Santa outfit. And she said, Papa, that's not Santa Claus. And she figured it out real quick. And if this boy had any sense, he would know that that was just some old man making minimum wage sitting there trying to dish out some advice. And it's a shame the mom didn't tell him that, because he got interviewed by the TV station, and obviously his mom probably called the TV station to complain about it instead of just complaining to the regular department store manager. People immediately go to the media now to get some kind of crazy attention. I'm not really sure what drives it. The only thing the author said about him was that he was rosy-cheeked and called him a lad. So I don't know. They didn't really describe what the boy's physique looks like. All right, so that's that. We got an awesome email bag section of the show. I'm going to get into that. The biggest email is from Down Under Dave, David Williams from New Zealand. And he did the ancient Khmer Path stage race in Cambodia. This was over Thanksgiving weekend. Cambodia, in the Cambodian jungle. And I'm going to, he's got a race report here that I want to go over, because it's really cool. And make sure you stick around for some of the other emails. I got some from Sandy, Thomas, Alex, and then I got a special announcement at the end about the DVDs I'm going to make available. And if you've heard me talk about that before, all I do is ask for a donation to a charity group, and that's something you do on your own. But I'm going to make additional DVDs available. And I'm also going to list them at ashlanddave.podbean.com, but I'll mention them in the podcast. And I've also got the announcement from Spartan, where I have a free giveaway entry to a Spartan race. And so that's going to be, I'm going to talk about that as well. So let's talk about Dave's running report. This is really something. I want to read this. All right, I got to preface it by saying David Williams is 69 years old. And this is a 220-kilometer race over six stages, which is 6 days. And you have to bring all your own stuff. It says, all runners must bring the mandatory equipment required for the race, their personal belongings and food supply sufficient for 6 days. Only cold/warm water and the camp infrastructure will be provided. And everybody has to stay in the same camp, and they have tents and toilet facilities, but mattresses are not provided. That's pretty brutal. And so I looked on the results, and it looked like it was a total of 38 hours, 22 minutes, 28 seconds of running. And 220 divided by 6 is roughly 36.6. So they probably had some longer days and probably some shorter days. And I just noticed that part of the email is cut off when I printed it out, but I'm going to do the best I can to make up for it. Hi, Dave. I made it through the 220 kilometers of Cambodian jungle, bush tracks, and dusty gravel roads. The heat and something today, but I picked myself up, smiled, and started the next morning with a smile on my face and ran the 45 kilometers, something on knees, and pulling up by tree trunks. Hills, which in the high humidity were tough, but I told myself the long day, which was 65 kilometers, was through. I can't believe this cut off. I just noticed this now, and I'm just surprised that I didn't notice it. The long day, 65 kilometers, was through jungle along single tracks or farm roads. All in all, it was a real buzz, and I met people from all around the globe who all had interesting stories to tell. One evening, whilst we were chewing on our freeze-dried food, there were cold beers brought in from the nearest area. We stayed 3 nights in local huts with mosquito nets over us, and the other 3 nights in ruins of ancient something, I think, terraces, terrain. Or temples, ruins of ancient temples, which, as you know, is the most credible temple site in the world. Ancient and amazing. I actually did not know that. You might have told me that. Highlight of the event, however, was meeting the local people in their villages. The kids all ran out to wave at us with their bare feet or in flip-flops. I'll never forget their true happiness and conditions, which you and I probably couldn't handle. I'm back training now for our 50K race in February, but I'm thinking of upgrading to the 100K event. Keep in mind, listeners, David is 69 years old. And on that note, my friend, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and hope the best for the holidays. My best wishes go out to you for 2007, which I trust will be a great year in which you run your dream races. Take care, down under Dave. Dave, let me apologize for the computer cutting off. I didn't even notice that till now, and so I've missed some of your email. I read it online. I just didn't. I had so many, I had to print them out. It's really nice to hear from you, and I'm really impressed with how much that you do down there. And you're a very active man, and I think it's wonderful that you you did this. And I'm kind of curious how you carried all your food. So, and also, I do remember that I think we talked about doing an interview. So. I'm going to email you back on this, but what is the time difference? These are some things to think about. What are the time difference between East Coast of the United States, which is Eastern Standard Time, and then the time zone that you live in? I'll need to know that difference so we can schedule a time. And can you do it over FaceTime, or do you use a Windows-based? We could use Skype. So I'll be emailing you on that stuff, man, and looking forward to it. Thanks for the email. Appreciate it. Also heard from Keith. And Keith is, he's 80. All right. So these are the old guys that wrote in to here. I'm going to read Keith's email because it's really good. He says, whenever I'm lucky enough to have a new Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, I feel like I'm running with an old friend. By the way, the strap broke on my Garmin where it attaches to the watch after many years. I sent it in, and for $25, they fixed it. He says he thinks it was a new one. Since then, he's bought a 235, way too expensive and has features he'll never use. But he said it's worth it as the heart rate is more accurate than the chest strap. And he has an atrial flutter, so he has to monitor that. He says it also acquires a satellite very quickly. Keith did a half marathon in the hills by Decker Lake on Sunday. He's from Georgetown, Texas, if anybody's from Texas and they know where that is. Over 1,000 runners, and with a metro of over 1 million, he's questioning why there's only 3 in the over 70 age group. He says he's 80. Maybe a better question is why I was there. Why was I there? Keith Mason out of Georgetown, Texas. And so I emailed him back. I said, yeah, did you at least win your age group? And he said, when I went to ask, I had, if I'd placed in my age group, the young lady politely told me they didn't have an 80 and above. So I asked about 75 and above. Same answer. So how about 70 above? She told me I was beaten by 2 whippersnappers, one at 71 and the other at 72. And that's from Keith in Georgetown, Texas. And I just say, keep it up, man. My dad is 80, and he still runs with a younger group than him. He's in good shape, and I think he's gonna keep running too. He doesn't really do half marathons anymore. He does some shorter stuff, but he stays very active. And so keep my hats off to you, because I know what the struggles that he has at times to get out there. And being that y'all are around the same age, you probably have some the similar struggles. But I thought it was funny that the better question that you were asking yourself was, why was I there? So it's nice to hear from you, and thanks for listening to the show. Sounds like you've been listening for a while. I also heard from Sandy, very excited. In reference to Sandy and her husband Eric, because I'm going to be visiting with them when I'm in Michigan, up their way. She's actually injured now, but she'll be bouncing back sometime in 2017. And I got a product from her called this. It's called Chafe X. I have not used it yet because my weekend mileage single runs have not gotten past 10 miles. And when I get past 10 miles, that's when I start having some chafing issues. So I'll be trying out that product soon. And Sandy, I'm very appreciative that you think of me when you get some of these products to send out to people to sample. Sandy works in a running store up in Michigan, and she's retired from her professional job, so now she gets to have the fun jobs. And she's also an ambassador for several products. So she, I don't know if this is a good question for you, Sandy, answer this at some point. Do you have to wear their logos when you do races? Because I know you do a lot of races. I was just curious if you have to wear the logos of the products that you're an ambassador for. Or do you just get samples of them to provide to people who want to try them out and then can positively talk about it? And I told her, once I try the product out, I'll do a review of it on the show for other people. It's called, it's Chafe capital X, Chafe. It's either Chafex or Chafex. It's probably Chafex. And yeah, I got in trouble with that. So I definitely need to try new things in reference to chafing. And Sandy did send me a deal here. If you want to try that product, new customers get their first tube for free. It's like a $17 product. You only have to pay the $4.88 shipping. So if you want to try it out, it's go to chafex.com, chafex.com, and enter the code SANSFREE to get the free tube. That's SANSFREE. So you can check that out. Appreciate all the emails, Sandy. Always good to talk to you. Looking forward to visiting you guys up there. And still can't wait for your 40 on the back 40 Ultra that you're going to hopefully put together in the next couple years. That would be a lot of fun. So thanks for the emails. And hopefully your physical therapy goes well and you heal up and you can get out there maybe halfway through 2017 and get back to doing what you do best. Also heard from Thomas Mueller. He's works down at Appalachian State. And on a side note, he actually, one of my best friends has a son that goes to Appalachian State University, and Thomas knows him down there, so that's pretty cool. He said he asked me in the last podcast, I mentioned an ultra in Michigan. He asked me if it's the North Country Trail Run. It's actually something different, but he mentioned that he did the 50 miler 2 times. He had a great running buddy named Mark Carroll. 1 year it was epic. They were close the entire way. He'd break out on a road section. If he was still in sight, then Thomas would chase him. He said one time they were so close, his buddy was snapping tree branches as he ran in front of me, throwing interference, all in fun, of course. And 1 year, he said his crew all ate the finish line chili and everybody got food poisoning. He said it was a real nice ride back to Ohio. I thought that was a funny story. And he also said that Thomas also said he's back to becoming a walker now, just doing the walking. Most days he walks 6 miles, does 15 minutes on the total gym, cycles on the weekends. I think his ultra days might be over now that he's just gone to walking. All he does is food is fruit, protein bars, roasted vegetables. I've talked with him before in the podcast. He's got a book out, Mind Over Diet. And I think he's got another book out after that one. Master Competitor Blogspot is his blog, and it's pretty cool if you want to check that out. Tom, it's always good to hear from you. We had another email where he said he felt like he had run that race back in the mid-90s, but then it seems like yesterday, but it was a long time ago. It's amazing how fast time goes. Also heard from Alex down in Arizona. He got the video, which I'll talk about here in just a few minutes. And he said that we had exchanged some emails about crewing for Tom, and he said that he's working an aid station at a race around the time we were emailing. He said it's his fourth time volunteer for a race, and he gets a rush out of doing it. And that's something I want to explore a little bit, and I was talking with Sandy about this in an email, is, you know, a lot of runners do a lot of extra stuff, and the way they contribute to the sport. And it's really so much fun to because someone has to help you when you're doing an ultra. And so it's kind of cool to be out there and help somebody else when they're doing an ultra or just a marathon. And the way you kind of bring new people into the ranks of this this really cool sport where it's just so hard and it's so mental and it's such a reward at the end. And it's really a selfish sport. But when you kind of work as an extra at an event, you kind of share that selfishness a little bit. You kind of giving a little bit of yourself. And it's important to have people to contribute to the sport. And I was telling Sandy, I find it remarkable that after all the races that she's done 35 out of 50 states and just countless ultras, she still found time to help a friend finish her first marathon and bring her into the marathon ranks. And now that's what Alex is talking about here, volunteering at races, working an aid station. It's a big time commitment, but sure is fun. And it sounds like Alex got a lot out of that. So appreciate you, Alex. Listen to the show. It was nice to hear from you, and I'm glad you liked the video. That was the video I made of Tom's 100-mile attempt. Let's see. I also heard from Phil Min, and I hadn't heard from Phil in years. And I think Phil had some kind of podcast before, or he had some kind of video thing that he used to do. I can't remember, or I might be confusing him with somebody else. But this is Foolish Phil, and he's listened to the show for a long time, and I just hadn't heard from him in a very long time. So, dear Ashland Dave, just wanted to check in. It's been a long time since I've written, but I'm still a faithful listener. I'm grateful for your podcast and how much I've enjoyed it as part of my running. Listen to your podcast about the Pine Creek DNF while he ran a 100-miler himself. He did it on a 1-mile loop, which he thought was probably a lot easier than a trail. It's called the Endless Mile. He said he actually ended up weighing a pound more at the end than when he started. He's very thankful about the running seasons. He's happy that I'm in a good place. And he said it was very neat that my daughter's in the marching band. He says he's been a band director for 40 years. And it's so funny when, I didn't really know much about Phil, but I never thought he would have been a band director. And so it's kind of cool. I don't know I can't remember where you live, Phil, but just really nice to hear from you. And I appreciate you taking the time to write that email. And I think I did respond to you, if I'm not mistaken. Merry Christmas to you, too. I really do appreciate the email. I got a new follower on Podbean, Itinerert, Itinerert. I get this from time to time because that's where the podcast is hosted. If you get it through iTunes, you probably don't know that it actually sits on a server with Podbean, and that's at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And every now and then I'll get notified that I have a follower. I don't really get a message, but it's I think Jay Tennert, or I can't even read it. Itinerert is the username. So welcome aboard. And also got an email from Bonnie over at Aces indicating that they got the donation from Alex. So thank you very much. So let me talk a little bit about, before I get into the videos, let me talk about the Spartan race. I've got a access to a free entry for a Spartan race, and in order to get that code, you got to send me an email at ashanddave@gmail.com. I put this out a few shows back and never got any response, and so I'm thinking maybe I don't know if I have any Spartan participants that listen to the show. But if you've never done a Spartan race before, you got to check it out. I've kind of gotten a new respect for some of these obstacle races because I've watched the Spartan stuff on TV, and I work with a couple guys that do these things, and they just talk about how cool they are, and it's actually gotten one guy into the endurance type of sport, and that's how he prefers to compete, and so I think they're pretty cool. So I can give you the code if you send me an email at ashanddave@gmail.com, and then you can find a Spartan race and figure out how that code will work for you. But I think it costs over $100 to get in those races, so definitely check that out. But you got to send me the email at ashanddave@gmail.com. All right, let me talk about the DVDs and then my objective in making these available. Several years ago, I kind of did some amateur video, and then I would put the video clips together using the software on the Macintosh. That's pretty good. And I made a bunch of ultra running movies. And just to kind of give you an example of some of them, I've done the Strolling Gym 40 Miler, made a video of that. And all these are like 30 minutes long. I've done the North Face Washington, D.C. 50 Miler. I've made a video of the North Face Atlanta 50 Miler, but that wasn't me. That was actually a guy named Roddy Bardwell, one of my former running partners. And but I took the video, so it's pretty good. It's kind of cool how it I put all the pieces together going up and down that Pine Mountain down there. I did one of the Mountain Massacre's 50 mile ultra marathon, which is here in Virginia. I've done one of the Keys ultra marathon that's through the Florida Keys, the Graveyard 100, and there's a couple others that I haven't mentioned there. And so these are like DVD quality type of movies where you can put the DVD in your DVD player and sit back and be entertained for, you know, 30 minutes or whatnot. And so I'm making these available to anybody that's interested in watching somebody do an ultra marathon. I mean, sometimes it's kind of interesting to see the struggle and the mental stuff that goes along with it. And they're free, and I pay for them on my dime to get to your house. All you do is send me an email at ashanddave@gmail.com. You send me your address, which one that you would like. And I'm going to list all these on the website at ashanddave.podbean.com. And you can email me and inquire about them. And I'll send them to you. And then I just ask that you make a donation to the Ashland Christian Emergency Services charity, which is here in the center of the universe. And I provide that information to you. And that's all on your honor system, on the honor system. I don't follow up on that. I don't check in with Bonnie over there to see if she's heard from, you know, gotten a donation from anybody. But over the years, I've raised over $500 from listeners for that, and it's an outstanding organization, and this is just one small way to raise some money. Back when we did the unofficial turkey trot here in Ashland on Thanksgiving morning, Ashland Tom arranged that, and I think he raised close to $400 for ACES. So it's a good cause, and it's just kind of a little thing that I do. And if you don't want to make the donation, you don't have to. But, I've found that most runners are honest people. So those are the DVDs that are available, and they're kind of cool. They're not, the camera's shaking all around and you can't see anything. You know, there's music. The video clips are put together. It's edited. I spent a lot of time making these things, and they're kind of souvenirs of some of the events I did. And I've said this before, I can see how serial killers, you know, take trophies from things because they want to relive it. Watching these movies kind of helps me relive the experience, and it helps motivate myself sometimes for future events, knowing that I've done it before or pulled on some inner mental toughness to try to complete the event. So I'll make those available in case you have any question about any of those events and you want to do an ultra marathon, so you can kind of just see what it's like a little bit. I think that's everything for this week. I'd like to close with a message of peace to all the listeners out there. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah. And I hope that the Christmas season is a wonderful time for you and your family, and good things happen to you. And I hope that you have a good start to the new year. And I will be back in 2017 with a brand new podcast. Might even experiment a little bit with the change in the intro music. I'm not sure. I've changed it a few times over the years. But this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug those kids. Y'all have a good week. We'll be right back.